Blog Talk Radio.
Great morning. I see we got a couple of callers on the line. Welcome to Faith, Focus, and Fitness Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate you guys getting on the line. If you can make sure you keep your phone on mute until we, get to the part where we can ask Ms. Tawanda some questions. I appreciate that. That'll help keep some of the noise down in the background. So I appreciate you guys getting on the line. Sorry about that. I've got tongue tied this morning. I'll make some announcements first before we get Ms. Tawanda on the line. If you're looking for some advertisement, promotions, commercials, maybe some radio interviews or radio spins from some of my singer and songwriters, I'm having a special for this month of October. So get in contact with me, and I'll go over all the details. I'll send you the email, other details. So I'm looking for some people that want to, advertise their business. Maybe you're an author, and you want to advertise your book, or you're a life coach. I'm looking for you. So you can contact me at faithfocusfinish@gmail.com, and I will send you all the details in the email. So on that note, some of the up-and-coming things that's going on this week. But today we have a special guest, Ms. Tawanda Steele. She's going to be talking about her journey through breast cancer, being a breast cancer survivor. Tomorrow we're going to be having Express Yourself, so you can call and talk about whatever you want to, as long as it's not X-rated. So it's Express Yourself tomorrow, Wednesday. Thursday we got Black Eye Thursday. Black Eye Thursday basically means If you could put your phone on mute for a minute, whoever's on the line, thank you. Thursday is Black Eye Thursday. Black Eye Thursday basically means that, you know, God been talking to you and telling you some things, and you just wasn't following. You wasn't following him. So basically, just a minute. Okay. So basically, you wasn't following his direction. So something happened to you that you basically had to punch your own self in the eye, basically, to wake up. So we're going to talk about, you know, I'll let some people share some of their stories about their black eye moments, okay, that they had to punch their own self in the eye. I'm not for sure about this next event, person that's on Friday, so I'm not going to announce that. So Friday is going to be an open session for now. We have Antonio Brooks. He wrote a book called Child Support. So we always hear it on the women's side, but we never hear on the men's side. So we're going to be talking to Mr. Antonio Brooks. And plus, he have a second series of his books that's due to come out at the end of this year. So we're going to do an update interview with him to just go over his books with him. And then next week on the 24th, we have Yolanda Compass. She's an author and a writer of a book called Breaking Free from the Cycle of Destructive Relationships. So I'm pretty excited to get her on my show. I actually met her this weekend, a nice, sweet lady, good spirits. I love her. She's, you know, she seems like a good person. So we're going to have her on the show for next week. So I want to formally introduce my guest for today. Her name is Ms. Tawanda Steele. She's a great, great friend of mine. We've been friends for, I don't even know how many years we've been friends, but we've been friends for a long time. Just recently found out a couple of years ago or two that she had breast cancer. And she's just coming on and sharing her story with us. So I want to welcome Ms. Tawanda Steele to Faith, Focus, and Finish Blog Talk Radio. Great morning, Ms. Tawanda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ms. Sunshine?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure being on your show.
Yes, ma'am. You know, first of all, I know I already thanked you before, but I'm gonna thank you again. I don't care because you can't thank somebody enough, okay? But a couple of years ago, back in 2008, guys, I was in a car accident, and I was in the neck brace and back brace. And me and Tawanda swapped back and forth. I was either flying to Baltimore or she was flying to Buffalo. And she helped me out. Actually, her and her kids, actually, they helped me out a lot. Yeah, I was flying with a broke neck. Neck brace.
She was a stylist, broke neck too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that too.
She was stylish. Every color she had on, she had a neck brace color to go with it.
Hey, I had to keep my jazzy look on. even though I was broke up. But I just want to thank you so much. I promise you, sometimes I tell you, I have a teardrop in my eye when I think about back then, because, you know, you can have people around you, but they're not really around you like they should. And, you know, to help you out, especially when you at the lowest of your lows or you sick of this, you can junkyard dogs or whatever. And
right.
I just want to thank you for being there. And the crazy thing is you was hundreds of miles away, but you were still right there, and that's what I appreciate about you. And and you always kept me, you know, always kept positive about everything, too. Even through all, you know, through what you just went through with the breast cancer and things like that, still staying positive. And so I just want to tell you that I want to thank you and tell you that I love you, girl, and I appreciate you.
You are quite welcome, and I love you too. And the thing, the key to it is being positive. Life hits us in all different types of directions. We all go through our own little set of problems, issues, concerns, just major things that happen in our lives. But if we let it bring us down, then we're just going to sink into it. But, you know, the key is to be positive throughout it all. And it's hard. It's hard. Trust me, I know. It's hard being positive in a dark situation. But at your worst moment, speak your best word. At your worst moment, speak your best word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Y'all see what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about right here.
And we have to uplift each other. And we can't allow any negativity to get into our space, because the moment you allow a little ounce of negativity to get into your space, it spreads. It's like a virus. Because if you
mm-hmm.
allow one negative person to get into your space, then they're going to, you know, we consume a lot, and it's all in our hearing. And once we hear it, once they get it in our ear, then it's a thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins. It begins with hearing it, and then it just spreads throughout that. But if you stop it, as soon as they begin to speak it, listen, I don't want to hear all of that. If you got to be negative, then you got to get out of my circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to keep positive. You have to be positive yourself. And then
mm-hmm.
you have to surround yourself with positive people, or positive things, or positive quotes, or anything positive. Because being negative, you're not going to get anywhere being negative. And, you know, with my story, you know, I was about to make a move in my life. I was about to move from Baltimore to Georgia. I had had a job. I had got a job, was looking for a place, and I was just going to give up everything in Baltimore. Now, my family, my children and my grandchildren are all here in the Baltimore area. But I had just got to a point where I was like, you know what, I just need to get away and just go do my own thing. And I was going to leave everything here and just move to Georgia. And it was all set in plan, set in motion. And I thought to myself, well, you know what, maybe I ought to go to the doctors, because I'm not going to have no insurance for at least 3 months, because you have to go through a 60 or 90-day period before your insurance kick in with a new job. And I thought, maybe I ought to go to the doctors and just make sure everything is all right. And I went to the doctors. And when I went to the doctors, and had a mammogram done, because that's how they called it. I had a mammogram done, and they saw something. And the doctor said, well, we have to do another mammogram. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, well, go ahead and do another mammogram. Then we have to do a sonogram. Okay, well, what's going on? Because you're doing all these things that's different. Well, we see something. Okay, well, now we need to do a biopsy. And I said, okay, well, all right, well, I believe in God, so my faith is strong. So when they told me they had to do a biopsy, you know, my thing was, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, I'm going to get through it. And they came back, and they told me, well, you have cancer. You have breast cancer. And I thought to myself, okay, so where did this come from? How did I get this? Because you don't know what's going on in your body. You know, we think we're doing the right things, and we're eating the right foods, and we, you know, just doing all the right things, and then this happens. And I'm just like, okay, well, I don't know where this came from, but okay. So we started the procedure of going through, I had to go through genetic testing to see if it was anywhere else, if it was in my genetics somewhere, in my DNA. I had to go through all those testing, all types of blood testing, going back and forth to the doctors and going to see a surgeon. And my surgeon said to me, well, this is what we do. You can have a lumpectomy, or you can have a mastectomy. We can take the cancer out. We can take one of the girls and give you a brand new girl. We can take both the girls and give you two brand new girls. And I love my girls. So my thing was like, well, if we could just go in and take this little bit out of this girl and save her, let's do that.
Right. So let's go back for a minute. Let's go back for a minute.
Okay.
How long ago or how old were you when you were first diagnosed?
Okay, that was 2 years ago. That was in 2017, in October of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
October of 2016, because, no, it was 2017. October of 2017.
Okay.
So
that was
2 years ago. So I was 40. I had just turned 48.
Okay. Now, when you first learned about you having breast cancer, now when they did the second mammogram and the sonogram, was that all in the same day?
Yep.
Okay. And were you by yourself or did you have family with you?
At that time, I was by myself.
So when they came out and they told you that, when you, so how did you feel when they first told you that? Did anything or anybody come to your mind about, you know, talking to them or anything like that?
No. When they first told me, prior to that, I had been, you know, getting my daily mammograms, and they thought they had seen something before, but
okay.
they checked it and it was benign, and they said it was nothing. So they had inserted a little tag or whatever inside. So when when they actually told me that it was cancer, I wasn't like, I was shocked. But I wasn't afraid. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the word. I wasn't afraid. Like, I wasn't distraught. I wasn't hysterical. I wasn't, oh, my God, what I'm going to do. I'm going to die. I wasn't, that's not where I was. And
mm-hmm.
probably that's, I wasn't there because I'm not negative. I'm pretty positive. And so I try to look at the bigger things. I try to look at the bigger picture. I don't know why this is happening to me. You know, we all go through the why me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel sorry for myself.
Right. Well, you know, me knowing you, I can't see you being doing that way anyway. I can see you looking like, really? Like you said, where did this come from? So I could me visualizing you can visualize you thinking really where this come from. So so when you got home, did you call a meeting with your kids? Did you just talk to some of your kids, or what did you do when you got home?
When I got home, I didn't say anything to anybody at first, and because my kids know me. They can read when something is going on or when something is bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can read me. So
you're really very close to your kids, I know.
So I came home, and I guess I wasn't myself. And, of course, it affected me. And me being the strong person, because, you know, I'm the mom. I raised my kids by myself. I'm a single mom, 4 children. They're all grown now, 6 grandchildren later. So I'm pretty much the head, so I have to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be strong for me. I have to be strong for my children. I have to be strong for my grandkids, so I can't let them see me in a low place, because
mm-hmm.
them seeing me in a low place is going to have a trickle-down effect.
Right.
So me being the strong person, thinking I can handle everything, I'm Wonder Woman. I come in the house and, you know, I'm just like, okay, hey. And, you know, a few hours go past and I'm kind of quiet. I'm not saying too much. I'm not myself. I'm trying to be myself,
yeah,
but I'm actually
to,
not myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to mask
trying to,
it.
Yeah.
And so my daughter, she said, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, oh, nothing. And she's like, oh, okay. And then my youngest son, Mom, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Oh, okay. What happened at the doctor's today? Oh, nothing. Just a regular mammogram. Oh. Okay, Ma, so now you're lying. Because we know something wrong. Something is going on. Oh, nothing is wrong. Nothing's wrong. I got some tests done, and when I find out what's going on, then I'll, you know, share it with you all. Okay, all right, that's good, Ma. So meanwhile, you know, the doctor had called me and start going over things that I needed to do, making appointments for different doctors or whatever. And at that moment, that was probably like a few days later, and then I decided, okay, I need to tell them. I need to tell them what's going on. My oldest daughter had just started a job with the state. And so I sat down with her, and I sat down with all of them and told them that I had breast cancer and I was going to get through it. This was nothing. You know, I'm still being a strong one. Oh, yeah, I got breast cancer. This is nothing. I'm going to get through this. You know, we strong. We bigger than this. You know, me just being me. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is, with me, I didn't allow it to sink in. So I didn't accept. That's what it did. I didn't accept it.
Right.
I didn't accept it. So I went through it, but I didn't accept it.
Right.
And
you know,
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, you know, I was just thinking about my mom had breast cancer too, and my mom was kind of too strong like you, but at the same time, she didn't know how to express it to us that she had breast cancer. And and I think the way it really hit me is this one time she had an injury, and it was so crazy, a paper cut mm-hmm. on her finger, and it made her whole arm blow up. And she ended up in the hospital. I didn't know she was in the hospital. I came home one day, my dad said she in the hospital, and I was like, what the heck? And he was like, she had a paper cut. And I'm like, a paper cut? Is she in the hospital? Mm-hmm. So I went all the way to the hospital, and she told me why she was in the hospital. That she was going through some therapy and stuff like that for breast cancer. And I'm like, what? But my mom, she just could not talk about it. I don't think she ever accepted it. And she probably did in her own little way, but she never mm-hmm. wanted to talk about it or say the word breast cancer when she talked
right.
to me, I'm saying. So I know it's a difficult thing. One of the other things is I know it's a big problem in the Black community with men and women because men get breast cancer too.
Right.
A lot of times it's a financial thing when it comes to, you know, making sure you're staying up on your treatments if you don't have insurance and things like that. And I know they have different programs, but it's always still some kind of money coming out of your pocket and things like that. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of times in the Black community, we don't get to take care of ourselves the right way because of those situations and things like that. But when you went for treatment, what kind of treatments did you go for or what kind of treatments did they offer you?
Chemotherapy.
Okay.
And so I had to go through chemotherapy. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, tell me how chemotherapy, what, you know, I don't know if it was through a pill, was it through IV? I know they have different ways of doing chemo. So what did they do with you?
With me, I had to, I had the surgery first.
Mm-hmm.
And they took out, I had stage 2 breast cancer. And mm-hmm. they took out the affected area. And then I had to go through chemo, and they had placed a port inside of me, so it was easier for me to get the treatment without being stuck twice a week.
Okay.
So they inserted a port, and my chemo went straight through my IV. It went straight through my vein. So the port was, you know, was placed in a vein in my chest. And I would get chemo for 8 hours every Monday. Well, twice every 2 weeks for 8 hours. It was always on a Monday. And
how many weeks did you have to go for chemo?
I had to go for chemo for 3 months.
Wow.
For 3 months. I was at chemo for 3 months, and then I had to go do radiation, and radiation was for 4 months. And radiation was every day.
Wow.
But the chemo was the hardest. It was the hardest because chemo is nothing but poison. I mean, when I see every Monday when I had to go in there and sit in that hospital and look at a bag that had the poisonous sign plastered on the bag, you know, that's a scary thing right there. That in itself is scary because you're looking at this poison just go through your body, through your blood, and it's killing everything. It's killing good cells, bad cells. It's killing everything.
Wow.
And it makes you sick. You can go through so many different things. Like I went through metal mouth, where everything that I put in my mouth tastes like metal, whether it was water or juice. You couldn't eat because you couldn't hold nothing down. You could have diarrhea. It was just so many different symptoms that you could get from going through chemo. You could get permanent nerve damage. You could just neuropathy. Neuropathy is nerve damages, and or lymphedema, which is where your drainage, your lymph nodes are blocking, and the drain is just blocking, and it doesn't drain properly, and it's just so many different things that you can go through when you inject chemo. But that's the route I took, and I took that route because of my daughter. My oldest daughter, she was my rock. That's my rock. She was there with me from. She was there with me from the first time that I went to see the surgeon. She was there. And every appointment, now mind you, she had just started a new job with the government. But she let her supervisor know that her mother just found out she had breast cancer and that she needed to be there. And by the grace of God, they allowed her to take these days off. And she was there with me for every doctor's appointment. She was there with me for every chemo treatment. She was there with me throughout the surgery. She was there with me when her and my youngest son wasn't there at the appointments, but he was home. You know, he was with me home. But my oldest daughter, she was my rock. She is my rock. And we banged it out together. And she took it harder than I did. She broke down, but she didn't break down in front of me. She broke down at work in front of her superior. And I think they all broke down in their own little way, but nobody ever broke down in front of anybody else in the family.
Right.
Because we was just trying to be strong for each other.
I remember the first time when I found out. I remember you've been to my house before in New York, and I remember my mom was upstairs, and I went downstairs in the basement, and I just buried my face in some towels, and I screamed as loud as I could inside the towel. So I know it's a very scary thing, you know, for your kids and, you know, for your family, the people that truly love you, and, you know, it's a very scary thing because, you know, that – everything else comes to mind when it comes to your family or your kids. Everything negative comes, not the positive side. Like, we're going to help her went through this. So everybody thinks negative all the time. And and they're hurt. So I know, trust me, I know they pain. Trust me. So,
yes,
but wow.
We banged it out.
And that's a good thing, Tawanda. That's a good thing that you had your kids there to help support you, because there's people out there, they're seeing people sick or hurt, and they would not be there to support you. So that's a beautiful
thing.
That was, right.
That's a terrible thing to have to go through stuff by yourself. Like, it's scary enough that you have a condition or something has come upon you. But then when you have to go through it by yourself, you don't have nobody to talk to, or nobody you can call, or nobody is there for you to go with you to a treatment or to the doctors or anything. That is very, very scary, very scary. And that's why right now I'm really open to when people tell me, if I hear anyone saying that they know someone that's going through something, or especially cancer, I'm always willing to, well, here's my number. Give me their number. I'll talk to them. If they need me to go to appointments, whatever they need me to do, you know, I can be there for them, because I know what it's like to, even though I have my children and there, and they supported me, but it was those times when I was by myself.
Right.
And, like, I worked through the whole process.
I was going to ask you.
I didn't want to sit at home. I didn't want to sit at home, because you sit at home and you have time to just think about it, and you just dwell on it, and it just makes you sad, and you can fall into a depression, you know, a depression state, and you can just all sorts of things can happen to you if you don't keep busy. So I worked through it. When I went to chemo on Mondays, I was off work on Mondays. Tuesday mornings, I was back at work, whether I was sick, weak, whatever. I had to push through it. And I was back at work. When I took radiation every day, I left work every day and went straight to radiation every day. So I pushed through it. But it was those times when maybe I was driving home from work by myself, or everybody was gone out somewhere and I didn't feel like going, so I was home by myself, or, you know, just different times, different moments that I was home by myself. And it would try to sink in, and, you know, all sorts of thoughts would come to my mind, and as soon as it would, you know, I would have my moment like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Why me? And when I would feel myself getting down and depressed and about to cry, I immediately have to get up, start thinking about something else or doing something else, just occupying my mind so that I don't fall into a depression, because I know that I could easily slip and fall into a depression.
Right. I was going
to
ask you. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what kind of things did you do to distract your mind? Because I know that's a hard thing to go through, but that was all I was going to ask you. What did you do to help distract yourself from going into that and going into depression and feeling down and stuff?
Yeah, I worked, and then my grandchildren. So my grandchildren, my oldest granddaughter, she's 16 now, so she was 14 at the time. She understood what cancer was. But the younger ones, they didn't know nothing about what no cancer was. So they was always around me, wanting me to do something. My mom, let's do this. My mom, let's play this. My mom, you know, it was always, they were always doing something. So I didn't have time. When I was home with them, I didn't have time to think about what I was going to do.
Right.
Which was good, because they kept me busy. They kept me busy. And then, you know, I have friends like you, and I don't have too many friends, but but the friends that I do have, you know, they would call me and check on me to see how I was doing. But one thing I did not allow, and I had to shut my mother down. I had went to my mom's house for Thanksgiving, and she had found out about it. My sister had told her about it, because I didn't tell her. My sister told her about it. And when I went to her house, and she had this face like, oh, woe is me, T, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I had to stop her in her tracks and say, listen, I understand that you going through something, and you got to understand that I'm going through something too. But if you're going to be negative, if you're going to be a Debbie Downer, I wish this hadn't happened, I don't want to hear none of that. If you can't come and speak positive to me, then I love you, Mom, but I can't be around you.
Right.
Because I don't need any negativity around me at this moment. You just don't know how critical. This is a critical thing.
Yeah. You and I, when I think about
you,
that,
it can make you or it can break you. And if you allow the slightest thing, in spite of everything that you're going through, you do not need someone around you besides you saying, I wish this hadn't happened to you. What are we going to do? And you don't need that. You need some, like I said, at your worst moment, speak your best word. Whatever your best word is, you speak it and you stick to it. And you continue to speak positive, speak life into your own self. I am an overcomer. I will get through this. I am stronger than this. I am better than this. This is nothing. I'm going to get through this. This is, and I looked at it, it was a process. See, God chose me to go through this because he was going to need me to minister to somebody that was going to need my strength. Somebody that I was going to run into, cross my path, that was going to be feeling kind of bad about this situation, and I was going to need to be that person to bring them through it. And that's just how I look at it.
So have you been to any, like, groups or anything, or do you belong to any groups or women's groups or anything like that?
I did go to, after it was all said and done and I was all out of treatment and everything, I started going to this place called the Hopewell Cancer Center, and they deal with all types of cancer, all types of groups for all different types of cancer. Any type of cancer that you could ever think of, they got a group for it. Or support system for it. And so I used to go there and do, like, exercising, and I had we had meetings. We had one-on-one meetings for breast cancer, or we had group settings, and they just taught you things to relax, like Tai Chi and meditating and just different things, pretty much like trying to become one with yourself. And things that relax you. And I do also every now and then so often go to a group meeting that's held at one of the hospitals here on Wednesdays. And they're a group of ladies that have been through either breast cancer or some type, pretty much breast cancer. But, you know, there are some ladies in there that had some other type of cancer. So I do attend those groups sometimes, every now and then, not too much. But I do attend those groups. And I'm just an advocate for just being positive through breast cancer. I just recently, last year, did a survival stroll breast cancer walk in Baltimore. And my children and my grandchildren went with me. We all did the walk. And I belong to a women's group and some ladies from the group also joined, and we all did the walk. So it was it's pretty amazing. And you meet all different types of people. When I was at that walk, you meet all different types of people from all walks of life that have battled this, that have been through this and have come through it. And it's just such a blessing to see all these different women coming together for one thing, and all being positive.
Right. Now let me ask you: Did you meet any men that had breast cancer?
Nope, I didn't meet any men.
Okay.
But there were a lot of men supporters.
Right. Well, I actually know someone, a guy that actually had breast cancer before too. It's very rare, but they do have it. So So yeah, I'm surprised that you didn't get to meet any, but
I didn't get to meet any men. But so I do have a so just recently, this is what I'm going through right now. So just recently, even though I'm a 2-year breast cancer survivor, that's my left breast. Just recently, I went to the doctors and had a mammogram done, and they saw something in my right breast. So I've had 2 mammograms and a sonogram done on my right breast.
Wow.
They say it's small, and they can't really determine what it is, so I have to go back in 6 months. But whatever it is, I'm going to get through it too. But I'm going to tell you something about this time.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, you know, I found out about it, I went through it like a breeze. But this time, it hit a little harder. This time, I actually broke down after the sonogram when I got in my car. The first time, it didn't affect me until after it was all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, it hit me a little harder because I just felt like, okay, I just went through this. I got to go through this again. And it hit hard, and I broke down a little bit. And then I had to get myself together. As a matter of fact, when I broke down, after I stopped crying, my daughter had called me. I had called my daughter and told her what was going on. And after I had stopped crying, she had called me back. And she's like, "What's going on, Ma?" And I told her. And she was like, "Oh, okay, well, Ma, we've been through this before. You know, we can get through this." And I had to tell her, "You know what, Angel, I think this one hit me kind of different." I said, so I kind of I broke down a little bit. And she said, and it's so true. And she said, "Well, Ma, you never accepted the first time.
Right.
You just went through it. So you didn't give yourself no room for emotions."
Wow. And that's what you need, somebody like that, to help you understand, to wake you up when it came to that part.
Right. So, but you know, my faith is strong, and whatever it is, I'm going to get through it.
Well, I thank Angel for being here. I thank all your kids for being here, but I thank Angel too. Because I could see her being a rock, especially when she said that to you. And the crazy thing is, you telling me that story is the first time I heard that story, and it did something to my heart. So I know it did something to you for her to tell you that you didn't accept it. You didn't accept it the first time. So
yep, I just went through it.
Wow. Well, you know, even the strongest people have weak moments. And so, you know, sometimes you got to let that cry out, you know, so you can go ahead and get through that part again so that you can move forward so you can still keep fighting. And so,
right.
I mean, you know, everybody cries, so, you know. That's all good.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
He does, but sometimes you don't realize that you don't realize you haven't accepted something until you have to go through something similar like that again.
Mhm. Yeah. I understand that. So did you have to change your eating habits? I know they tell you to exercise, but did you change any of your eating habits, or you still eat the same foods? Or because I know they say we are what we eat too. So was that anything that they advised you to do as far as with that?
Yes, I had to change my whole diet. Like, I had to change everything. My doctor recommended that I not eat meat. She recommended that I become a vegetarian.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't eat. I do eat fish and seafood. I do eat seafood, but I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork. I don't eat chicken. Every now and then I have a taste for some chicken, and when I do have a taste for some chicken, I go get me some.
Right, right.
But
it's funny
but
that you say
eat,
that because
I definitely don't eat beef or pork because the last time I've tried to eat some, it made me sick. So I definitely don't eat no type of beef and no type of pork. But I might, you know, every now and then I might indulge in a piece of chicken.
Right.
But just beef, I mean, just seafood, fish, a lot of green vegetables, not too many carbs, but veggie. And
it's funny
So just getting used to that. And with chemo, see, chemo took my taste and my smells away from me. So I don't have taste buds. I have probably like 5% taste buds and 5% smells. So, and that's
wow.
kind of hard. That's rough. Yeah, that's rough.
Right.
But so I just eat just to eat. I don't even eat to taste the food. I just eat to eat now.
Right. Yeah, when I was a vegetarian, I used to have those moments where I felt like I wanted a piece of chicken or some steak. And I went and did it, and it just and I ended up going right back to meat. But I know I need to stop eating it. So I was like, oh, goodness. So, but I want to open up the line and see if anybody have any questions. So we do have a couple of callers on the line. And if you have any questions for Ms. Tawanda, you're more than welcome to ask any questions. I'll open up the lines for you if you want to. You could just unmute yourself. All right. So I guess nobody have any questions so far. But it's all good. It's always good to just still at least get the information and the knowledge, you know, and hear other people's stories and things like that. So,
right.
So let me ask you. So I know you said that you took it differently this time, but so did they say they was going to do with you this time? Are you going to go back to radiation and chemo again, or are they just going to watch it?
Well, right now they're just going to watch it. So I just have to go back in 6 months to see if it's any growth of any kind going in that area. It's this time it happens to be on my right breast, and it's kind of like in the same area. But it's just on the other side, on the other girl. And I had, and so they said they're just going to watch it and then just to come back in 6 months. And I had thought to myself, okay, well, if I got to go through this again, I'm just going to get both the girls taken off and just start anew. But then I spoke to a young lady at my job, and she had breast cancer. I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a mastectomy. So she had one of her girls taken off. And it was replaced. And she said that she has gone through so much with that. And I said, "Why?" Because I was making a joke out of it, saying, "Yeah, I'm just gonna get both the girls cut off, and I just give me two new perky ones." And she said, "Well, be careful what you ask for, because those perky ones can cost you a lot of pain." Because she was telling me that she had to she had a drainage and. One of them, it leaked, and they had to go back in and replace it. And she said, it's cold all the time. So you have one breast that's cold all the time because of the fluid that's inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
She said it stays cold. It never gets warm. So it just constantly sends chills through your body.
Wow.
I mean, the way she was talking was like it was – she was having a lot of problems with it. And after I finished talking to her, I said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that then. I just might just have them go ahead on in, and if it's something, take it out of that girl, and we just deal with it like that.
Right.
But she also told me to do my research and just find out what would be best for me if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to take it one day at a time, 1 month at a time, and wait until 6 months and see what happens after 6 months and just work it like I worked it the last time.
Right.
You know, if he did it before, he can do it again.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So if you had any words of encouragement or any words that you could say to cancer survivors or their spouse or their kids, and we're talking to the world because this is a global platform, we're talking to the world, what would you say to them? What kind of advice would you give to them?
First, I would tell them to be positive in everything. I know it's hard sometimes to be positive, to be a light in a dark place, but you have to speak it to yourself and involve your family in whatever it is that you're going through, your family, your friends, close friends, anyone that you have in your corner. Don't keep it from them, because the more you talk about it, the better you're going to feel. By keeping it all held inside of you, it's you're hurting yourself. But if you don't have nobody to talk to, find a support group. A support group, because it's a thousand support groups out there, thousands of support groups out there, wherever you are in your area, wherever you are in the world. So it's somebody out there that's going through the same thing as you're going through. If you can't find a support group, then when you go to the doctors, ask your doctor, because you're not the only person that they're treating for that.
Right.
Ask your doctor to recommend somebody or some places or something that's going to help you stay positive and stay focused on your health, because your health is important. We only have one life to live. We got to take care of ourselves, be healthy, and live the best life we can live. Be positive above all everything else. Just be positive. That's
wow.
What I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, you have to stay focused and just don't keep it to yourself. That's where we fall short. Us as people, we fall short of telling somebody else what we're going through, because sometimes we feel like, I don't want them in my business. But
right.
That same person that you don't want in your business could be the same person that helped you through this.
Right.
If you just open the door and let them in.
Right.
And pray. And whatever your faith is, trust your faith. Whatever you believe in, trust that.
Amen.
You know,
yes,
I'll be
ma'am.
Praying for everyone. You know, if you're in that situation, if you're going through it, you know, my prayer is that you just stay strong, hang in there, and just be positive.
We want to make sure we pray for you, too.
Thank you, girl.
So I appreciate you getting on my radio station, Ms. Tawanda. And, yeah, I mean, this was a nice, I love this interview, very informational. And I know it helps when you tell people your story, because that helps people, too. Get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you sharing your story with me. And so I'm going to end off with this quote. And this quote is, everyone encounters trials and tribulations. No choices, so just face it. Live with it. Fight for it. Live life. Fight for life. Every day is a gift, so don't take it for granted. And, I want to thank all the people that got on the call or that even came on to listen. Thank you for, you know, coming on Faith Focus and Finish Blog Talk Radio. We are on Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern Standard Time. If you want to call in and ask questions, the number is 563-999-3741. And you can follow me on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Faith Focus Finish, and also on Facebook under Faith Focus Finish. And I appreciate you guys getting on the line. Let me see if I have any other closing goals. All I have are closing announcements. And again, Ms. Tawanda, I appreciate you getting online and, you know, sharing your story with us. And I'm going to make sure I pray for you, and I'm going to make sure I check on you and things like that. And again, I'm going to have to float through here again to come and visit you. And so anyway, I love you, sis, and you take care and have a great, blessed day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.